Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here, hey, if you get an opportunity to stop by, please do. We're down at the Marriott City Center leading up to the tonight's hockey game between the Vegas Marc-Andre Fleurys and the Matt Murray-less Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. Not the goalie matchup we wanted to see, but I think everybody in town will be happy to see the Flower back between the pipes. It's his second appearance as an ex-Penguin here in Pittsburgh. The first came back in February of 18, where he took a 5-4 loss to the Penguins on an emotional night for him. We're pleased to be joined by the Las Vegas Review-Journal's Dave Shane. And David, first of all, welcome. Happy to be talking to you. And I just, Matt Wenzel of the Post-Gazette just left me. And I said, did you see Marc-Andre Fleury? And he said, yeah, but he walked right by us and went to our TV guy, which is a guy that he knows very, very well, and Dan Potash, and tied up his microphone in knots as the prank. So I want to ask you, what have you seen over the last couple of years that has been the Flower's best prank out there in Vegas?
Oh, well, first off, thanks for having me on. Best prank, that's a good one. You know, we haven't seen many like really, you know, obvious ones. There was an incident last year where I think he bundled up all of Jonathan Marchessault's sticks, about like 10 of them, and like threw them off on the ice. You know, we've seen the water bottle trick with, you know, the loose lid and guys getting the water dumped on him and things like that. But I think what makes him so good at the pranks and all of that is that we kind of almost don't see, you know, they're like secretive. You know, we hear about things later on about, like, you know, he'll get somebody's toilet in the hotel room and mess with that or something like that. So I think those are always the best ones, the ones that we kind of almost hear about later on.
Yeah, I mean, it's always, I think the best one, and I think he had a hand in this too, was a couple of years ago, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he filled one of the guy's cars with those foam peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
And when he came out, yeah, to the car, yeah, and they, you know, it's just like, it's amazing. I mean, how could you not love this guy? He keeps everybody loose. I'm sure it's the same way out there. And have the fans kind of jumped on board with what he has brought to the table? I saw the other night, we were just talking about it, him stealing a San Jose Sharks stick and giving it to some kid through the glass after a brawl. I mean, it's just, it's so much fun to watch him. He brings so much to the game.
Yeah, they love him. I mean, the fans love him. The players love him. You know, we're talking about kind of the pranks and things and keeping everybody loose. And, you know, even Flower himself has kind of talked about, you know, it's an 82-game season. Sometimes you need to, you know, joke around a little bit. I remember last year in St. Louis, he was out with, like, a blonde wig during Halloween. You know, I mean, it's a little tiny thing like that, but it just, it does make a difference. Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I had an Uber driver here who was telling me about Flower and how beloved he is in Pittsburgh, and I was kind of telling him, like, I'm not going to compare the two, but Vegas really, really latched on to him. I mean, you know, short of maybe Ryan Reeves, Marc-Andre Fleury could run for governor, mayor, you know, you name it, and probably win, you know, any election out there. I mean, they love him. And, you know, this is the other thing, too. In terms of the on-ice stuff, you know, it's a good roster, and especially in retrospect, you know, everybody kind of discredited them 2 years ago. But really, I'm not sure that they're as good as they would be if things worked out differently and they weren't able to take Marc-Andre Fleury in the expansion draft. I really do think, you know, not only just being a face of the franchise, but the on-ice, you know, confidence that he gives them really does permeate throughout that locker room.
Yeah, and they lean on him, and he's good enough to be leaned on. He's, you know, he carried the load. I remember fondly his, you know, his first game when Eddie Olczyk was the coach, and they, as an 18-year-old, they threw him into his first game against the LA Kings. He ended up losing the game. I think it was a 2-1 final, but he stopped like 50, 52 shots in that game. And everybody's going, wow. And Eddie Olczyk just hated the fact that for monetary reasons they had to send him back to the American Hockey League because he wanted to keep him, and he's that kind of guy. But has he said anything leading up to this game and coming back to Pittsburgh about how emotionally tough it was for him the first time around, and how I guess it would be so much easier now this time around?
Yeah, he actually did speak today after a morning skate, which is, as you guys probably know, pretty rare for a goalie to do that on a game day. But I think maybe that speaks to, you know, how he's received here in Pittsburgh and kind of understanding that, you know, everybody kind of wants to, you know, hear his thoughts and things. He definitely mentioned that it was weird. Even still, you know, two, three seasons into this, you know, two plus years, from the expansion draft. Yeah, still coming back here is still weird for him. He talked about that this morning. You know, I mean, I'm sure it'll be, you know, just like any other game once he gets going. But he was asked about 2 years ago and the emotions and everything that kind of, you know, came with that. And, you know, last year, obviously, like you mentioned, he didn't play. So I think maybe that helped a little bit, just another year of kind of, you know, coming in and, you know, seeing everybody, but not necessarily having the pressure of having to perform. I would expect him tonight, even though he said it was weird, you know, to play pretty well. He's been pretty locked in lately. He's made some really nice saves, you know, just the lateral movement that everybody's kind of talked about with Fleury from the day he was drafted has really been on. He's really reading the plays, you know, right now, kind of ahead of the shots, ahead of the pucks and things like that. So, you know, we'll see tonight. I would imagine, you know, anytime, like you said, anytime you're facing guys that you know, really well, and you kind of know their tendencies, you kind of don't want to think about that. You just want to react. But I'm sure it'll be emotional. I'm sure, like you said, it'll be weird, and I'm sure he wants to get a win probably more than anything right now.
Yeah, Dave, I'll tell you this story because, you know, what I remember most about Marc-Andre Fleury is when he first came into at 18 years of age after being a number one draft pick, came into training camp. First day of practice, Phil Bork and I were sitting together at the practice rink, and, you know, he's taking shots, and his leg pads were so wicked fast. I looked at Bork with my jaw on the floor. Borky looked back at me with his jaw on the floor, and I said, he's like a flipper thing in a pinball machine. You know,
yeah.
Neither one of us had ever seen somebody with that lightning fast leg work with his pads. It's just incredible.
And I know the Golden Knights' new studio TV analyst is Mike McKenna, who obviously is a goaltender, bounced around in the AHL and, you know, had a few cups of coffee in the NHL. And I know he was on Twitter and mentioning, you know, that when Fleury was drafted, it was that lateral movement across the crease and things that nobody had really ever seen anything like that before. And I mean, that's it. You know, I'm not going to say he's playing like he's 18 or anything like that, but he's definitely moving well right now. We'll see kind of long-term, obviously, not been Sudan is hurt right now. Oscar Dansk is their backup, and, you know, Oscar Dansk is pretty much a career minor leaguer. So right now, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury is handling a lot of the workload. They have a back-to-back coming up after the game tonight. They play Philly, and then they have a back-to-back second game in Chicago. So we'll kind of see how they handle that. We'll kind of see how Marc-Andre Fleury's workload, you know, is sort of managed and mitigated, you know, going forward. But, you know, the other side of it is he wants to play when he's playing well. And right now he's playing well.
Yeah. Hey, why not? And the team's going pretty well, too. You know, they beat Ottawa before they arrived here in town. They're 5-3. They've won three of their last four. And by the way, we're talking to David Schoen, and you can follow him at David Schoen. That's S-C-H-O-E-N, if you want to do that on Twitter as well. And guys that are performing well and have performed against the Penguins, Mark Stone, what are you getting out of this guy? I looked at his numbers. I pulled him up against the Penguins. In 12 games, he's got 16 points and 9 goals. So if you're looking for, you know, somebody to provide some offense tonight against the Penguins, it would be Stone.
Yeah, he's been huge for them ever since they got him at the trade deadline in February. I kind of stuck my foot in my mouth, I think, at one point and made a comment about how, you know, I thought he was kind of a point-a-game player, but I didn't think he was like a 90, you know, to 100-point player or anything like that, and he's on that pace right now. He's really elevated them. I think it's just, you know, it was the one thing that the Knights kind of lacked was, I guess, a quote-unquote superstar up front. Not, you know, I don't know that Mark Stone is a superstar. I mean, he's never made an all-star game. But I think he's really coming into his own as a player. We've seen it the last couple of years. You know, his line with Paul Stastny, Max Pacioretty was easily their best line in the playoff series against San Jose. They've been their best line, you know, for the first eight games this season. Stone obviously leading them in scoring. I mean, Pacioretty's second, if I remember right. So, that's been a big thing for this team. That was maybe the one element that they were really lacking. And I would also say that the element of just Mark Stone's emotion. He's such an emotional guy, and he fires the team up. I'm sure you guys, you know, anybody's probably around the league, when he scores, he's got that kind of trademark fist pump, you know, that he gets going. And it's something that the Knights really responded to. They needed a little bit of sandpaper, you know, kind of in their locker room to their game, especially after James Neal left following that first season. He was kind of the one guy in that locker room that could, you know, crack a head if it needed to be, you know, get up in somebody's face, yell and scream a little bit, you know, provide some, I guess, constructive criticism. But Mark Stone is definitely kind of that personality. He's wired similarly, and I think, you know, his leadership has really been, you know, is pivotal almost to the Knights is his on-ice production.
Yeah, Pacioretty is another guy that kills the Penguins. He's got 13 goals in 28 games against them, so that line is going to be the one to watch. Finally, Dave, I need to ask you, it's a small sample size, of course. The Knights have never won a game in two tries here, and of course, you know, they're a young franchise, so, you know, that's going to happen. What I'm impressed with, and it may come into play tonight, is their penalty kill is third in the NHL at near 94%, and they haven't given up a power play goal on the road. What's the key to that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They've been pretty aggressive with it. I think what's really interesting to me is they lost two of their best penalty killers from last year in the offseason. Pierre-Edward Belmare signed with Colorado, Ryan Carpenter signed with Chicago. So kind of coming into the season, I think there were, you know, maybe a question or two about, you know, who would step in, how would they play. Mark Stone is obviously a Selke Award candidate. He's been a big penalty killer, kind of teaming with Cody Eakin. What I would actually offer, though, is the combination of William Karlsson and Riley Smith is just extremely dangerous shorthanded. It's not really about sitting back for them and kind of letting, you know, the other team's power play kind of do its thing. They are really proactive. They're really aggressive. They're always looking for chances. You know, Gerard Glantz even said, I mean, they pretty much produce at least one, you know, really good chance shorthanded. So that's something to keep an eye on tonight, I would say, for, you know, just those two. If the Penguins are able to, you know, avoid kind of turnovers at the blue line, putting themselves into a, you know, compromising situation, I guess, and allowing those two to use their speed on the penalty kill and maybe create something.
Yeah, for sure. So special teams may be a big factor in tonight's game. Hey, Dave, it was great talking to you. I really appreciate you jumping on, and enjoy the city. I'm sure you have already, but, you know, looking forward maybe to getting with you down the road. It's like I told you before when we initially talked, maybe we'll be lucky enough to see these two in the Stanley Cup Finals. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that'd be something, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it having me on. Thank you. Have a great night.